Joining us. All right. Praise ye the Lord. We celebrate God's goodness. I'm telling you, we're on a little series. It didn't start out to be a series, but I did see my shadow, and so it's turned into 6 weeks of, all right, that was my wife's joke. Okay. All right. Okay. She thinks it's so funny. Thank you for laughing to accommodate her. You know what? We're these sermons are to help you get off to a good start for 23. Because I want to tell you something about the Lord. He wants you to walk free in 23. Freer. That's His heart for you. And I want to tell you something that I get to see the Holy Spirit ring a bell wherever I go preach. And I'm fixing to go in just a couple weeks. Another part of Texas to be preaching for the weekend. But I want to tell you something that I'm able to say that the Holy Spirit uses is that God has more for you than what you're walking in. Are you willing to receive it? And I tell you what, I've seen the Holy Spirit over and over just ring that little bell on the inside. He does. He paid for more than what I'm walking in. There's more freedom for us to walk in. Let's be learners. Let's be receivers. It's not earning it, it's receiving it. And so these sermons are to help you get off to a good start. And God wants you to get off to a good start. And you say, well, I haven't got off to one. Well, now's a good time. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and I've already preached on this scripture, so I'm going to mention it. You have to go back a week or so to catch it. But he says, I will restore. This is God speaking to his people. I will restore and replace for you the years that the locusts have eaten. And then he describes all kind of different kind of locusts. Now, I don't know. See, we could take a little interview here, and the enemy has shown up in our lives maybe in different ways. There's different titles to it. Boy, the world loves to put initials on it, you know, and letters on it and describe. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what yours is called. His name is above whatever you're called. And I want to tell you, he's won the prize. He's won the victory. He paid the price on the cross for you to be free. And that's Bible, and that's Jesus for you. And so whatever kind of locust it is, hopping locust, stripping locust, crawling locust, it don't matter what their name is. The Lord says he's going to restore. He'll replace and restore. So this is what we're saying. Get ready for more because he restores. Get ready for more because he restores. And one of the ways to describe that is that, you know what? The enemy has stolen years out of some people's lives. Decades out of some people's lives. Nights and days. But I want to tell you something. What the enemy has stolen, God wants to replace and restore. He's the only one that can do that. Medicine can't do that. Psychiatrists can't do that. Money can't do that. But I want to tell you something, Jesus can. And this is what he wants to do and loves to do for you. He's done it for others, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. This is Bible, this Bible promise. This is his heartbeat. And so it's important for you to see his heartbeat and not settle for less than the restoration. He will help you take back ground that the enemy has stolen. Is that a good report? And so whatever the enemy has stolen, the Lord wants to help you take back that ground. Boy, that's good news. It's all through Scripture. It's God's heartbeat. You even see it back in the Old Testament, even in the law. Listen to this, Exodus 22:1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills and sells it, he shall pay back five oxen for that ox that was stolen. Do you see restoration in here? How about if it's a sheep, four sheep for that one sheep? Now, I want to tell you something. That's a good deal. You may not understand because you're out here dealing with, Chevrolets and Fords. God bless you. But what I'm telling you is that this is God's heartbeat. Okay? Hey, it would be like this. If somebody stole your horse out there on the parking lot, and God wants to restore. His heart is so big to restore to give you five brand new ones. Am I getting the picture? I don't know if I am. All right, let me tell you a little story then. Sometimes stories help. Back in the Old Testament, a farmer that had one ox was having a tough time getting by because that was their tractor. The ox was their tractor. Some boys came along and stole that ox, carried it off to another village and sold it because they wanted some party money. That sounds familiar, don't it? Okay, now, you know what the Lord did? It's in his law. Those boys that stole that ox, they had to repay back this farmer five ox. Now, I want to tell you, here's the farmer waking up after all this, and he's leaning over telling his wife, "Baby, we're rich. I'm so glad that them old boys came by and stole old Martha. I'm telling you, now we got five tractors. We can plow a lot more land, a lot more harvest. I can hire people to run these tractors because we're going to have so much harvest. We're going to be so blessed. We're going to be able to be a big blessing." Does anybody see restoration in that story? That's what happens. You say, "Well, it's been years. It's been decades." God can restore in days what the enemy has stolen in years. That's how big he is. We covered that in a sermon if you want to go back and hear it. And so in Leviticus 6, as a matter of fact, it talks about the trespass offering. I don't know if you know about the trespass offering. But what happens in the trespass offering is that, you know what happens? Is that the person that's been done wrong will be restored 120%. Those are good numbers. I don't care how you add it up. And so, again, it's a picture showing God's heartbeat for you. That's why that we're to believe in God's heart no matter what happens, what kind of loss, what kind of stolen, no matter what way you were hurt or taken advantage of, or whether it's a trap of some kind of the heart and emotion, or whether it's a sickness, or whether it's financial, it don't matter how you've been done wrong, song, the Lord can and will restore. And so that's why that we're to have hope in the Lord and to see his word and let the Holy Spirit paint that picture in your heart, and you have hope for restoration. Because I want to announce something to you. The Lord is not going to restore without your cooperation. Boy, he wants to, and he's willing to, and your cooperation doesn't mean that you have to make it happen. You just receive it. So, have a joyful, positive, confident expectation. Do we have that priest blessing? No, we don't? Okay, I'm going to cover that at the end. But what I did is I went back into number 6, and this was years ago, into number 6, where God gives instructions for Aaron and his sons to speak a blessing over the people. And he tells them, you know, that may the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May the Lord give you great favor. May the Lord, and I took that, and it hit me one day that, you know what, that was before the cross. Now, after the cross, it's not may he, it is he is done. It is finished. The Lord has blessed you. That's why that we're going to be doing at the end of the service, and it's in your newsletter, and it's part of what you are to confess, because the Lord loves his word. Now, I've kind of reworded it from the cross. On this side of the cross, it's a done deal. And I want to tell you, and I put some shepherd language in it, because he loves shepherds. And I want to tell you something, it'll be a great blessing to you. But this is why that we're to have great hope, because you've got good days ahead of you, not because of you, but because of your Father. Days of favor, not because you've earned it, because Jesus earned it for you. Days of great grace. You know, it's by grace. It's not by earning or deserving. All right? Sometimes we meet people that say, "Well, I deserve to be sick." Well, I'm just going to say something to you. Jesus paid for that. I'm deserving what I got. Well, none of us deserve. Jesus won it for us. He took our mess on the cross and gave us his best. He took our mess and gave us his best. That is Jesus. That's how much he loves you. And we have great days of grace ahead of us. Enough hope and grace and favor to overcome every wrong attitude. Every wrong attitude. I want to tell you. Let me just go back to this a second. I'm just going to kick this out for you to think about. Is it God's will for you to be forgiven? Is it always God's will to forgive? Thank you for knowing that. Because by his blood, he paid for everything else the same way. Is it God's will to heal? You see? Is it God's will to deliver? Is it God's will to provide? I want to tell you, he's already said because of the cross, all of these promises are yes and amen to you because of the supreme price that Jesus paid. Now, what we got to do is get our mind in line, okay, with what God said. And so that's called renewing the mind. But he's given us enough favor. He's paid for enough favor to overcome every wrong attitude. And if it overcomes every wrong attitude, it'll overcome every wrong emotion. Because your wrong emotions come from your wrong attitudes. Your wrong attitudes come from your wrong thinking. It ends up in action. And so when people say, well, it was just an accident, the wrong action, no, it wasn't. Okay, you got to go back. And I want to tell you something. It's important for you to plug into Jesus, turn on to Jesus, tune into Jesus, because what he wants to give you is hope. He ministers hope. And hope comes from letting him love on you and remembering his grace and loving kindness. You say, it can't be that simple. Well, that's why so many people miss it. Man, there's some very intelligent people that I'm trying to talk to about Jesus that are letting their brains get in the way. Because they're convinced it can't be that simple. They want to figure it all out. Now, Pastor Don kind of points at me because I point out to him, we don't have to figure it all out. He said, well, that's in my nature. I just want to figure it all out. No, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good for you to seek. It's good for you to study. But here's my point. It's not about seeking to know. Is that don't let what you don't know hinder you from obeying the truth. Do you see that? You might as well get on board. Pastor Don said amen. Okay, hope comes from letting him love on you and remembering his grace and loving kindness. Now, we get disconnected from that. And we say, how do I get back? It's real simple. Just turn your heart to him. You see, Jesus made it easy. It's not by your works. Let's do that right now. Just bow your head right now and close your eyes. Just receiving the Lord's love will give you hope. Okay? A lot of times the world wants to crank up hope. No, it's received. It's from Jesus. I want you to do this right now. Would you just ask the Lord right now to come and remind you how much he loves you? Just be still, ask him. Stop the traffic. Stop the reasoning. Stop the deserving. Stop the condemnation. And just ask him to love on you. See, this is not hard to do. Let the Lord love on you. Listen to what he says to you. And you know what? I want you to look at me right now. When you just stop and be still and recognize that he's the Lord and he's the ever-loving, super-abounding love of Father towards you, he desires to love on you. And when you be still and practice, recognize, and just letting him love on you, I want to tell you, hope will spring up in your heart. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. It just needs to be practiced. And so you will remember his grace and loving kindness. Hope rises up. The Holy Spirit works even when everything around you seems hopeless. Your hope is not based on your surroundings. Your hope is not based on your circumstances. It's based on Jesus. Focus on Him. Feast on Him. See Him in the Word. Quit trying to read scriptures to try to earn something by the mileage. Get in there and focus on the Lord and let the Lord speak to you. It's the message, not the mileage. Focus on Him. Meditate on Him and His works. Remember the three R's. Recognize Him, receive Him, and respond to Him. That's just a practice of faith. Just encounter with the Lord. And the three P's that we talk about will be manifested. His presence and His power and His passion. That's the result of just letting the Lord be the Lord. That's grace. That's what it manifests as. And it's supernatural. And it's in you and around you. It's not something you make happen. It's something the Lord does. And so that's why we need to practice receiving it. Let's look at some word. That's what your loving Father looks like. Psalm 77, 11 and 12. I will earnestly, does everybody see this? This is in the Amplified. I will earnestly recall the deeds of the Lord. Now that earnestly means this, I will be determined. It's not something you just, well, I'll have my little time here and I'll just read this and say amen and go on about my world. No, no, no. This is being determined. This is giving direction of your heart and mind. Okay? I will earnestly, it means be determined to recall the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will earnestly remember the wonders you performed for our fathers of old. And so this is saying that you, in a determined way, will remember how the Lord has blessed you in the past, and you'll also remember the recounts and testimonies of the saints of old from the Word of God, even to those that you've known, what God has done, because God's not finished. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And so when you practice meditating on Him in His works, I want to tell you, hope rises. When you practice receiving His love in a personal way, hope rises. And you say, well, what's so big about hope? I need faith. Hope comes before faith. It's the essence of things hoped for. They're very real. They're invisible. But they're very real. But He wants to paint that picture of what He wants in your life on the screen of your heart, of who you really are in Him. He wants to paint that where your identification is what He is and what He says and not what the world says or not what your history has said or not what a doctor's told you. Time with Him transforms us. Look at verse 12. I will meditate. You see, it's a healthy, spiritual. God invented this for our benefit. The world's tried to copy and the enemy's tried to copy it. But I want to tell you, the Lord invented this. And it's not meditating on all the junk out there or the fantasy stuff. It's meditating on Him and the Word. That's where the difference is. That's where the power is. I will meditate also upon all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. And you say, well, I just need to know how to practically do that. Well, okay, thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. The way you do that is that you start a blessings journal. And you say, well, that sounds like children's church. Well, that's where we need to start. Start a blessings journal. And what you do is that you go back through that journal and you keep adding to it. And you go back through it and you start practicing thanking God. And meditating and remembering on the works of God, what He's done in your life, what He's done in the past, what He's done for your family, what He's done for others that you know, what He's done in the Word of God. Because as you see Him here, that's the way He is here. And so you practice this. Now I want to tell you, the big difference is there's a lot of people that are suffering and miserable and bouncing back and forth like a yo-yo because they don't practice it. But I want to tell you, the people that have practiced this, practice this verse, and they get great benefits. There's no side effects. It's just benefits. You can't do it too much. Boy, you start out the morning, through the day, you're thanking God, adding to your blessing journal. At night, you go through it and thank God before you go to bed. I want to tell you, that's spiritually healthy. Put your heart in a position to receive, to seek God and to see what He's up to. To be able to see on the big screen of your heart what God is and what He's saying and what He wants to do. Most of the people that I preach to don't have a clue what God wants to do in their life. Well, how are you going to cooperate if you don't know? But I want to tell you, God wants you to know. And he wants to show you. And so meditate upon all your works. Man, take that blessings journal. I remember an elderly pastor couple that came to be on our staff years ago. And the wife, after years, lifetime of ministry, told me her secret. She had never gotten over being depressed. She had ministered effectively to people, but on the inside, she cried her whole life because under a cloud of depression. And what the Lord gave me, I was teaching to teens. And so I just told her, you need to start a blessings journal. And I told her how to start it, how to go back over it in the morning, think about it during the day, meditate on the works and the blessings of God, practice it at night before she went to bed. And you know, it wasn't a couple weeks later that she brought me and showed me her blessings journal. She didn't just say amen like a lot of people do. She practiced it. But when you practice the word and remember his works, I want to tell you, supernatural takes place. And I want to tell you, she told me, she said, for the first time in my life, and my husband will testify, because husbands know, wives know. And I want to tell you, she said, for the first time in my life, I'm free from depression. She said, I preached about joy. I never knew I could receive it. That's the Bible. Again, are you going to let the Bible get in the way of what you believe? Psalm 77, 14 and 15. You are the God who does wonders. You have demonstrated your power among the peoples. This is talking about supernatural, all-powerful God. When you start letting the lies slip in, God does it for others, but he ain't going to do it for me. God may do it for some people, but he's not going to do it for me. I just don't believe God's going to do it. See, that's believing a lie. And I want to tell you, if you believe a lie, you'll speak a lie. If you believe a lie, you'll speak a lie, and you know what? You'll act out that lie. Lies destroy you. God's not tired or retired. He's all-powerful. He's supernatural. And he wants to show his supernatural power in your life. You have with your mighty arm, verse 15, redeemed your people. That's what God does. The sons of Jacob and Joseph. And I want to tell you, meditate on him. He redeems time. He's the only one who can. He rescues people. He's the only one who can. He restores what the enemy has stolen 120%. He's the only one who can. And so come to him and put your focus on him and not on the world, not on man's ways. Let's go God's ways. This is your Jesus. And so be real and be open-hearted, honest with him. Repent, change your mind. Turn your direction toward him and not the same old things you've been trying for years that haven't worked yet. Seek, ask, knock, and keep on seeking, asking, and knocking. And the Lord will reveal his personal key to you. That's what he wants to do. It's through intimacy with him. It's not through the spiritual aromics of how the Lord did it with someone else. The Lord, what he's done for others, he'll do it for you. But he wants to do it in a personal way. Okay? And so find intimacy with him. See, when you practice being fulfilled and satisfied inside out with him, then I want to tell you, Jesus is more than enough, and it puts you in a position to receive. You can actually seek the healer and miss your healing. Let me back that up. You can seek your healing and miss the healer. Psalm 92, 1 and 2, look at this. Man, get ready for more because he restores. It is good. Boy, I'm telling you, it's good. It's good and delightful thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. This is a good, you cannot do this too much. And you say, well, I already know about that. No, it ain't knowing it in your mind. It's practicing it in your heart. You cannot do this too much. There is power in praise and thanksgiving. It is good. You know what it does? It blesses the Lord. And you'll be blessed by the Lord by giving thanks to him. It's a delightful thing. It's beneficial inside and outside. Not just for you, but for others. When you practice thanksgiving. Because it creates an aroma around you that's a sweet-smelling perfume of Jesus. You smell like Jesus when you're practicing thanksgiving, and people are attracted to you. Not because of all what you brag about, what all you've accomplished. No, no, no. It's because of Him. Big difference. You're responsible for your atmosphere. I had a pastor tell me not too long ago, well, it's just dead at our church. It's just stale. It's just dead. It's just formal. It's just like a meeting. I said, you're responsible for the atmosphere. You know what you do? You go back. You get there before everybody else. And you renounce the enemy. And you practice releasing the presence and the power of the Lord to be manifested. You welcome the Lord, His manifestation, in your building by taking authority over everything that would resist and come against. You confess the Word of God over that meeting before everybody gets there. You can go by and pray over every seat and just release and speak. You see, this is faith operating. You say, well, that's sounding a little spooky. No, it's sounding like faith. What are you going to do? Do the same thing? You're responsible for your atmosphere. You say, yeah, them pastors ought to do that. No, wait, wait. Time out. You're responsible for your atmosphere at the house. You cannot dare let a child set the atmosphere for your home. God's given you authority. Hey, we don't do that here. This house belongs to the Lord. We're on the positive because God's doing things that we can't see yet, but we're believing and we're speaking the positive. Don't you dare be saying this is mine, mine, me, me. No, no. It's dedicated to the Lord. And so you come against the negativity because you know what? That's evil. That's dark. You come and present and, hey, present and decree and declare the positive. There's power in your words. And listen, parent, you're responsible. You have a responsibility. Responsibility. Because Jesus has given you authority to set the atmosphere in your home. How do you do that? Praise and thanksgiving. You can't go around with the mully grubs and confessing what all you're not. You go around confessing what God says about you, and you know what? You speak life. And you know what? You have to take a loving boundary stand against people or people in your family that would come against and bring disturbance into your home. You know what? We present peace, and we speak life, and we speak faith. There's a lot more power in your words than you're acknowledging. And so it's good to give thanks. See, you practice thanksgiving and singing praises to the Lord. You say, well, that's not my thing. Well, it needs to be. Because this is not a qualification to be on the praise team. This is honoring your Lord and King with praises. And you know what? You use your musical instrument. You use the same one I do. I turn on the stereo and I sing. That's your musical instrument. You know what? It accompanies you. You know what? It helps you give praise and go, I sing a whole lot better when I'm singing with the Irwins or with the Beans. Give them praise. You see, you're setting an atmosphere. I'm telling you, homes have atmosphere. I preach in different churches. Churches have atmospheres. You know as well as I do that people have an attitude atmosphere. Well, I want to tell you, you can't be responsible. You can be responsible for you. And if you're one in authority, you can be responsible for that area that you have authority in. And some people have told me, well, it's just my little cubicle. You have authority in that cubicle. When they step inside that cubicle, it ought to be a power of praise and thanksgiving. Do you see that? Well, I hope you do, because it makes a difference when it's practiced. Look at this. There's so much power in praise. And look, you say, well, I feel kind of funny doing it in private. Well, that's why you don't do it in public. Because I want to tell you, just jump off the diving board and you make a practice in private and it'll be a whole lot easier for you to praise in public. Woo! There's power in praise. Ministers to the Lord. It's a weapon against the enemy to drive him out. He's allergic to praise and thanksgiving because he was a praise leader at one time. He can't stand it. He's allergic to it. You start praising and giving thanks and his power and his working runs out the door. He's going to check in on you later. To see if you mean it. See if you're going to be consistent. And it ministers to your own soul. Hey, There was a sister just a week or two ago. I can't tell you because I didn't ask permission. So I'm just going to say sister. And this is what this sister told me that day. She was in great need. She did not want to come to church. And this is what she said. She said, I so wanted to not go to church. I so wanted not to go that I knew I needed to go. And I came. And she was touched. She was ministered to. Now look, we got precious people here that's driven all the way from Abilene, Texas. Now I want to tell you, we got people that live across the highway that won't come. Can't arrange it in their schedule. But I want to tell you something. I'll just tell you this because we've seen it over the years. I got pastors here, leadership, back me up because we know it's true. The tougher it is for you to get here, the more you're going to receive. Guess who's making it tough for you to come? Guess who doesn't want you to come to church? Guess who doesn't want you to be encouraged? Guess who doesn't want you to hear the word and have faith spark up to be an overcomer and a winner? To walk in more that Jesus has for you. They want to keep you. See, the enemy won't keep you pressed down, keep you trapped up. But I want to tell you, I'm not shocked that the further someone drives, or the harder it is for them to get here, the more they get out of it. Because you know what it is? It's the Lord rewarding. I want to tell you, the Lord rewards. The Lord blesses you. He loves you. He rewards you. And you know what? If you believe, do you believe? Well, receive. Hey, verse 2 says, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Now, I love this so much because I want to tell you, this little lady that came, she didn't have time for all of her normal, maybe warfare wardrobe. But because she was going to be here on time. Let me tell you this. We're not taking pictures of what you wore this week and what you wear next week. You know what I tell people? Hey, just put on your garments of praise and come praise Him. It does you a heaven of a lot of good. For it in your heart, for your voice to declare it, for your body and your soul to hear your voice decree it, and it's life to you. Declare who He is. Psalm 91:2 tells us to say what He is. We practice meeting with Him in His presence, and then we declare who He is to us. And God does the rest. When you feel like it the least, it's when you need to practice it the most. Show forth your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness by night. Now, I just love this so much because you know what? You practice letting the Lord love on you in the morning, you're going to have testimony of His faithfulness at night. Do you see the connection here? It's not by your doing, it's by His doing. How much do you have to brag on about the Lord? We don't want to hear bragging about you. We don't. Get on to the good stuff. Brag about Jesus. Because He's the common denominator. It's the Jesus factor. All right? If you have to put your amen on it, that this is what I accomplished, this is what I did, this is because of me. No, I want to tell you, that's flesh and that's pride. Okay, let's talk about Jesus. Let's esteem the Lord. Let's honor the Lord. But if you practice loving kindness, receiving loving kindness in the morning, you have testimony of His faithfulness at night. Wow. Hallelujah. It's strategic for your soul and the souls of others around you for you to remember His works and focus on His goodness. Keep a blessings journal and focus on how faithful He is. And well, I already know He's faithful, but no, you need to meditate on it. You need to chew on that and feast on that. And I want to tell you, Sarah did. Hebrews 11:11. Well, there it is right there. Sarah did. Because of faith, also Sarah herself received physical power. This was supernatural power in her physical body to conceive a child. You say, well, the doctor say, no, we're talking about supernatural power in your physical body. You say, well, that was Old Testament. You know what New Testament says? That His resurrection power goes in to your mortal body. Wow. So don't say God can't. Don't say God won't. Here's the Hebrews 11:11. Even when she was long past of age, this is what the doctors told her, it was impossible. Because she considered God. That means meditate on God. She meditated on God and the faithfulness of God. He had given her the promise to be reliable. He was faithful, and he was faithful, and he was faithful, and he is trustworthy, and he's true to his word. And when she practiced meditating on the faithfulness of God, she got faith. Because she had the picture in her heart from hope. Is that clear? Do you see that? The Lord's grace and his love and his faithfulness have carried you through another year. You may have limped into this year. We got compassion for that. You may have come into the year moaning and groaning. We got compassion for that. But I'm here to share with you that because of the Lord, there's more for you. There are milestones of progress that he wants to walk you in. He wants to be your rescuer. He wants to be your restorer. He wants to propel you into more freedom in 23. Free in 23. See, God's good to you. And he's faithful to you. You say, well, no, see, you haven't practiced seeing it and recognizing it. Because the more you thank God, the more you can see what he's doing. Your eyes are open. And the next thing you're saying is, wow, you know, God did this, and God did that, God did that. And it creates an atmosphere in you that I want to tell you makes you repel the enemy. Because you have an aroma of Jesus. He's allergic to Jesus. And when you practice thanksgiving, you have that aroma. Hey, there's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Well, he's not really a lion. He's a liar. He pretends to be a lion. And I want to tell you, when he gets around you and he smells the aroma of Jesus because of your thanksgiving and praise, he is not hungry for you. Okay? Hey, his appetite goes away for you. He goes somewhere else where he can smell death, darkness, negative, compromising, settling. Are you listening, saints? Practice remembering and declare it. Rehearse the miracles. I was preaching somewhere about a year ago, and I was reminding this pastor and his wife, this family, of the miracle that took place in their family decades ago, and I got to be a part of it. So it's very, I've enjoyed meditating on it, rehearsing it, and retelling the miracle that God did. And when I began to share about this, they said, you know what their answer was? Oh, I forgot about that. You know, I didn't remember that this and this and this. And you know what? I think I do remember. But you know, I hadn't thought about that in years and years. I want to tell you, that's why it's important to rehearse. Okay? Because I want to tell you, it stirs your heart. Hey, quicken yourself in the Lord by remembering his works. You'll continue by meditating on his goodness, applying his word by speaking it. You'll continue to see his loving kindness in the morning, his faithfulness at night. You'll have much more to testify about the Lord, about his grace on your life. And the lives of those you love, it'll be splashing on them. I know we live in a fallen earth. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have struggles every year. For me to stand up here and say you're not going to have a struggle this year, that'd be a lie. But I want to tell you, I stand on the Bible. The Bible already tells, Jesus told us they will come. But I want to tell you, you can position your heart by thanksgiving and praise, by practicing and focusing on his loving kindness, by receiving it, by meditating on his faithfulness. You'll position your heart that when crisis does come to you, you will overcome. It doesn't mean there won't be a season. Don't mean there won't be a fight. It doesn't mean you won't take a blow. It doesn't mean you won't get knocked down. But according to the Bible, he'll get you back up. And I want to tell you, you will overcome because your heart's in a position to receive when you're believing. Hey, unbelieving believers, repent. Say yes to the Lord. You're going to accomplish much more progress in your life this year by being a believing believer, by saying yes to Jesus, by applying his truth. these practicing principles that are so simple. And I know we have these struggles, but you cannot lose that positive expectation of God's goodness in your life. Love brings that. Now let me tell you the simple word that describes a positive expectation of God's goodness in your life. It's hope. That's what Jesus gives you. Hope. Hope comes. Faith comes. The faith to operate and to practice what he's saying and what he's doing. The faith to speak it when it doesn't look possible. The faith to walk in it when the doctors say it's impossible. Hope brings faith, which brings receiving. Hope, faith, and love will propel you. I'm talking about a momentum here into victory for every challenge in 23. Is that possible by humans? No. Possible by God? Yes, 1,000 times yes. Our part is to practice meditating on his word. Psalm 92 is right there. Go there and stay there. Park there until you capture it. All right, it's not enough to say amen to it. You got to make it you. You got to put your name on it. You got to own it. Focus on his goodness and faithfulness, and your eyes and ears will be open. You'll see and experience it to a greater measure. Is there anyone interested in that? You'll know his rest, his recovery, his restoration. You'll know and experience growth, progress in an expedited way, a whole lot more in a lot shorter time than you ever have before. Because that's what grace does. To expedite means make an action or a process happen sooner or be accomplished more quickly. That's what grace does. Hasten progress in your life's journey. Greater speed, greater acceleration, greater efficiency. Anyone interested? Well, his name's Jesus. Nobody expects perfection. We don't expect perfection here. There's not one leadership person here. There's some great people on our leadership team. I just love them so much. But not one's perfect. All of us, you're looking at one, got weaknesses. But I want to tell you, even when those weaknesses are surrendered to the Lord, he shows forth his strength. They're not a hindrance to what God wants to do when it's surrendered, because he shows forth his strength. When we operate, you say, well, which one's first? Rest or acceleration? Because I really like the acceleration part. Well, rest is first. Rest comes first for his favored one. The world works hard, then rest. We're believers. We operate out of a different kingdom. We start with rest. That's why the Lord's Day is on Sunday. It's the start. Enjoy him. Receive of him. Let him love on you and minister his life to you. And we operate out of rest, out of peace, out of joy, out of love. We accelerate in growth then. That's what overcoming and progress, when we rest in the finished works of Jesus. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, practice seeking and practice walking in it by faith. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this in a personal way. Well, we got to practice it, not just hear it. We receive supernatural breakthrough and deliverance and rescue. And sometimes it's so immediate, it makes us all go, wow. But I want to tell you, there's progress in the kingdom. And it goes like this. It may be 30-fold increase. You say, well, no, wait. If you pursue the Lord and you practice resting and receiving of the Lord, your acceleration factor that the Holy Spirit does it supernaturally. If this time next year you were 30% better than you've been in decades, would you like that? What if the next year you were 60% better? Would that be good news? What if the next year you were 100% better? Hey, look, it's a healing journey. And I'm saying this whether it's an addiction or whether it's an emotional broken heart or whether it's physical or whether it's financial. I want to tell you, he loves us to have a healing restoration journey. God's love and faithfulness, restoration, health, provision. You know what? We praise the Lord for accelerated growth. Accelerated breakthrough, accelerated promotion. Okay, I'm fixing to wrap this up. The enemy's a liar. And when he comes and whispers to you, it's too late for you. He's a lie. He'll say stuff like this. He'll say, you know, You won't see God's loving kindness and faithful in your life or the life of your loved ones because it's just being too long song. That's a lie. 1,000 times no. Don't accept that. Don't agree with it. You've heard me say it. I got to say it again. If you agree with that lie, you're going to believe the lie. If you agree and believe the lie, you're going to operate on the lie. And that power of that lie will rule over you. That's Bible. Isaiah 54:17 says this, and we do have it. I'm not even going to take time to read it. I'm just going to tell you. But you have it in your notes, I think. If not, write it down. No weapons formed against you will prosper. But you know what? You got to rise up. See, this is what people don't quote. You got to rise up and resist it and renounce it and call it what it is. It's a lie. But if you want to look down a little bit further, it says this peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition. Does this sound like overcoming? Does this sound like a win that God has for you? It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. The Lord reproduces himself in you. His victory on the cross and the resurrection is reproduced in your life. And this shows the world that he's real. That's a whole lot better than anything the world has to offer. He's our Redeemer. It's not too late. Your Father says it's not too late. You got to say no to the liar, to the enemy. Yes to God's love. Yes to God's plans for you. He is so big and so loving to you that he says in the word that he will give you a hope and a future. Receive peace. Touch him and let him touch you. This verse is so powerful. I'm just going to put it up there, I think. We got Matthew 14. No? Let me tell you about this verse in Matthew 14, 35 and 36. It speaks, and I know you're aware, because I love to preach on it, about the little woman that was sick for 12 years, and she came and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Now, I want to tell you, I'm just telling you, she had meditated on the works of Jesus. She heard about the works of Jesus, that people that touched his robe was healed. You say, well, that only happened one time. No, it didn't. No, I want to tell you, Matthew 14, 35 and 36 says this, that they brought people around from all over that was sick. All of them, it says. I believe when the Bible says all, I think it means all. Don't you think? Well, I want to tell you something. It speaks about that they came to Jesus and they just touched his garment. A whole lot of them. They just touched his garment and they were healed. Power flowed. I want to tell you, that's why we talk about, you know what? You can touch Jesus. Be determined in your heart, whatever your situation is. I'm going to touch Jesus every day. I'm going to touch Jesus. Because when you touch Jesus, his power flows. When you touch Jesus, he touches you. And when Jesus touches you, supernatural happens. This is the way of the Lord. Jesus paid for you to receive this wonderful word-based promise. The last one I'm going to share, and I'm done, okay? Can you handle one more? This is in Matthew 28. Am I right? Yeah. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Just listen to this. Let's walk through this right quick because I know time is done. Jesus is saying, come to me. Now, I want to tell you, he didn't put any qualification there. No qualification. Are you labor? Are you heavy laden? Are you overburdened? Hey, let me put it to you like, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Look what he says. Just come. Just come. And I will cause you to rest. Not something you earn. Not something you work up. Not something you make happen. It's something he makes happen. He says, I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Look at the next one. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want to tell you, he wants you to get to know him. He wants you to get to know him. Take off that heavy yoke that the enemy or the world or yourself has put on you or somebody else has put on you. You take it off and you put on his. Look at the benefit. He says, I'm gentle. He's not going to whoop you. A lot of people think that. I've come to God and just, you know, surrender to him. He's going to whoop me. No, No, he wants to love on you. Okay? I'm gentle and I'm humble, lowly in heart. I want to tell you about lowly in heart. He's low. Listen to me. You think you're low? He's low right there. You think you're under? He's close to the ground so he can reach out his hand to you. He's not high and mighty. He's low for you. His hand's reaching out so you can grab it wherever you are, how low you are. And you'll find rest. He's humble in heart. This is why that he's not going to take you. He's humble. You understand? He's humility. He's not going to take you with your pride. Hey, all this stuff you're doing on the outside trying to convince everybody how important you are, that's pride. It's not your name. It's his name. You know, the qualification to receive from God is for you to lower yourself so he can raise you up. You don't raise yourself up. I don't care how many people are clapping for you on the book of face. What is Jesus doing? Hey, you come and humble yourself and you'll receive of him because that's where he is. You'll find rest, relief, ease, refreshment. Anybody need that? How about recreation and blessed quiet for your souls? How about a vacation for your soul from all the burden and task that you tried to put yourself through? That's how big he is. And that's how much he loves. That's what he wants for you. Now, he puts the ball in your court. He says, I've done it. My works are finished. I just want you to receive. Are you willing to receive? Are you willing to learn of him to receive? There's no question right now. I can ask Robert. Go ahead, Robert. Stand up and go to that light switch back there. Pronto in the lay. I can ask Robert to hit them switches, man. Yeah, see, you may have darkness in your life. Okay, you can turn them back on. You may have darkness in your life, but I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price for his light to be in your life. But I want to tell you something. The power source is here if you know Jesus. There's no problem with the power source in this building. The problem's with the switch. Who operates the switch? I want to tell you, that comes down to us. You have a chooser. And I want to tell you today, you can start choosing life. You can start choosing light. And light repels darkness. Life renounces death and every form of death that sin brings. Wow. Let's give him glory. Let's give God praise. Let's celebrate the Lord. All right. I'm praying for you right now. Thank you for your time. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have provided more than enough for whatever our need is. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have displayed your power, that you won the right for us to be born again. And Lord, when we receive you, we have the birthrights of your power and your love to be manifested in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have overcome everything that we face. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your name is above every name. Lord Jesus, we want to learn of you. We want to humble ourselves before you today, and we want to reach up our hand. Thank you that you're low to us, that we can receive your hand, your love, your forgiveness, your promises, that we can walk in a healing journey to be free in 23. Lord Jesus, thank you for your big-hearted love to recover us. We can receive more because you love to restore, and we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let's honor the Word.